So the leader of the TV, Jim Allister, the pro-EU commentator Jim Morris with us. Morning, Jane. Morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning. Anything to fear from a time-limited backstop, Jim Allister?
Yes. The issue with the backstop is not its duration, it's its content. And if its content is unacceptable, and I'll remind you in a moment why it is, then it's unacceptable, whatever its duration.
Well, you've got the vice chair of the Tory party now saying they're talking about a time-limited backstop, or they're prepared to talk about a time-limited backstop with the DUP.
Well, I think that is folly for two reasons. First of all, what is the backstop? It takes Northern Ireland, leaves it in the EU customs union, whereas the GB is not in the EU customs union under the backstop. It puts us in the EU single market, and in consequence establishes regulatory border down the Irish Sea.
For a limited time, Jim. That's the point.
Sorry.
A limited time.
Yes, well, so you say. But if that is not toxic and unacceptable in itself, then it's not a question of for how long. It's toxic for one day, never mind one year. And, of course, the second reason why it is absolute folly is that I doubt very much if it would ever be lifted, because you'd get to the point where the focus would then move. The end of the world, the whole Project Fear nonsense would be built around the date when the backstop's supposed to end.
Well, in an exchange,
and you have the knock-on consequence of keeping it, and people saying, well, we've got used to this regulatory border, it's not that bad, we've got used paying tariffs on goods coming into the EU customs union, it's not that bad.
The DUP,
if we give up this, we will have to succumb to the violence of the terrorists, etc., etc. So now is the time to stand forthright against the anti-democratic backstop. And if the Prime Minister was right that it's anti-democratic, then it's anti-democratic every day it operates, whether that's long or short.
Well, the DUP, through Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, have been saying that they've been up for this time-limited backstop for quite a while now, for over a year now.
More fools they, if they were ever prepared to contemplate Northern Ireland having a regulatory border in the Irish Sea, being in the EU's customs union, subject to the EU tariff rules and the EU tariff code. More fool them if they're ever prepared to contemplate that for one day, never mind one year.
Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said,
or whatever.
Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said a time-limited backstop would only cover any transition period of about 2 years. So unionists, he said, have nothing to fear from being entrapped in it.
And I dare say the same Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, salesman very often for this sort of thing, when the 2 years are up, would be telling us, well, you know, really, we could maybe stretch this a little further.
And he also said, Jim, the entire UK would be in the backstop for that limited period. If future relationship isn't agreed, the backstop would fall away. There is no entrapment, he said, and Northern Ireland is not separated from GB. This is Plan B. Plan A remains alternative arrangements. But it is clear, because Sir Geoffrey Donaldson's one of the most senior negotiators in the party, he is saying a time-limited backstop has no grounds for fear with the unionist community and would only last about 2 years.
Well, that is nonsense, because the time-limited backstop would still put Northern Ireland in the EU's customs union. GB wouldn't be in it. That is a fundamental change affecting not just our economy, but our constitution. And of course, the question then that Sir Geoffrey would have to answer is, if you can tolerate it for 2 years, why can't you tolerate it for 20 years? If it didn't bring the end of the union in 2 years, what's wrong with the regulatory alignment that brings it in the IEC, etc.? You've been able to live with it, Geoffrey, for this time. Why not another year and another year? And another year. If all you're saying about the backstop is right, then how can you tolerate it for one day?
Well, if you look at the choreography, of this, you have Arlene Foster more recently reminding people that they would be up for a time-limited backstop. You have the Conservative Party vice chair telling me last night that, yes, a time-limited backstop is one of the things that his government would be prepared to look at. You have Geoffrey Donaldson straight away last night after that interview posting on Twitter that unionists have nothing to fear from a time-limited backstop. It seems to be that this might be the solution.
This is no solution. This, at best, postpones the issue but I fear puts it in such a way that we get conditioned to a backstop and we get settled with a backstop for all time. And we remain in the EU customs union, we remain in the EU single market, and we, in consequence, would have
a regulated
border down the Irish Sea.
If it's time limited, how would you be locked into it?
Because it already locks you into the EU customs union. It locks you into the single market. So you can well imagine, as you approach the end of, say, the 2 years, what the hysteria is going to be from all those who built the same hysteria about a hard border. You're simply going to push down the road to that point, the same hysteria, and the need for, and the call will be, well, we've took it for 2 years. It hasn't been that bad. We can take it another 2 years.
But all of the UK would be locked in this backstop, so it wouldn't threaten the union.
Oh, sorry, it would threaten the union.
Not if all of the UK was locked into it.
Yes, but all of the UK would have an escape route. That's the thing about the backstop. All the rest of the UK has an escape route. They can leave, but we under the backstop could never leave, and we would be firmly, legally, constitutionally in the EU's customs.
So why do you think the DUP is contemplating it then?
Well, they can only speak for themselves, but I think they're very foolish because they are embracing something which, in the embracing of it, they undermine entirely the case against the backstop. They demonstrate it's not as toxic, they think, as they've said it is. And it's something they could live with. If they can live with it for one day, then the other side will obviously say, then you can live with it forever. That's the folly of where they're going.
And Jim Morris, will come to you in a second. I just want to take a call here very quickly. 0303 80 55 55. Let's pile your calls into this as well. Mark in Lisburn. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was just listening previously, your caller there from the Tory party, the Conservative vice chairman. He comes across as quite a bit of a hypocrite this morning, saying that he doesn't wish to say too much in the airways, but still comes on to mute the attempt to put a temporary backstop. But we in the unionist family don't believe it's going to be a temporary backstop. We believe that...
Well, the DUP believes you have nothing to fear from a temporary backstop.
Well, Stephen, maybe perhaps there's... I'll put it as plainly as this. Perhaps there's maybe a mild civil war going on within the DUP. They're maybe not just as united as they make out. Because where is Arlene Foster's blood red lines? We had a number of months ago where Arlene Foster, the leader of the biggest unionist party, said there would be absolutely no backstop. It would be totally unacceptable to the unionist family. Then months later, after going to and from Dublin with Captain Hand, she now says that it could be an acceptable time limit. And I have many differences with Jim Allister, but I have to agree with him this morning very strongly that if there is a temporary backstop, it will be a full-time backstop. And it is on the slippery slope, Stephen. And it is absolutely no wonder this morning that the unionist loyalist people in Northern Ireland are so deflated and so annoyed with the entire unionist leadership, with the lack of leadership that they're showing the communities. We are so deflated and we're so angry that there's been so much lack of leadership. You could spend an entire programme on it, Stephen.
Well, let's look at Arlene Foster's precise words. I've read to you what Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said. Here's what Arlene Foster told the Conservative Party conference in Manchester. It was a fringe event. She said, in terms of the time-limited backstop, can I remind you that Leo Varadkar thinks of the of what Leo Varadkar thinks of the time-limited backstop? He says it is not a backstop at all. And so in terms of the time-limited backstop, we have said in the past it is something we would look at. I don't think it's something that Leo Varadkar would look at, but certainly if a time-limited backstop was on offer, it is something that we would look at because I don't believe it is at this present moment in time.
Stephen, let's be very clear here this morning. Leo Varadkar will do exactly what his paymasters in the EU will tell him.
And what have you got to fear from a time-limited backstop, Mark?
Because it is a slippery slope, Stephen. For the last 2.5 years, we've been listening to nothing but programmes on BBC and other programmes in the general media. There's this sense of defeatism within loyalism and unionism. And there's a fear out there about we are on the slippery slope to United Ireland. It's a constitutional question here. If there's a backstop imposed, and it will be imposed, on the unionist electorate. We are on the slippery slope to United Ireland. And it is totally unacceptable.
It's acceptable to the DUP.
Well,
a time-limited backstop is acceptable to the DUP.
Stephen, let's, you're a very clever individual. Let's get someone like, well, I'm very sorry that the DUP still refused to come on to your programme.
That's their prerogative. Fine. If I, as a journalist, want to report RHI to the rest of you, and they want to try, in Sammy Wilson's words, to harm me as much as possible because of it, then do you know what? You lot will be coming before them every day of the week. Full stop.
One wonders why Sammy Wilson did say that, Stephen. That's exactly what I'm saying. Is there a cabal within the DUP hierarchy at the minute? Let's get somebody, if they would, come on and talk on the biggest shows, you quite rightly say, in Northern Ireland. Let them come out and speak to their, like, use the form of your programme to speak to us. Let's speak to their local councillors and drum them in, or their MLAs, which absolutely do nothing.
Well, unionists might want to get ready, Mark, for a time-limited backstop coming into Northern Ireland, because it's being floated. It's being floated again.
I can tell you, as a grassroots unionist and loyalist, I know no one. I know no one I have spoke to in the last 2 months. Stephen and I was at meetings in Portadown on Saturday. I was in the north of Antrim 2 months ago at a meeting within unionist and loyalism, and no one that I know, apart from the DUP hierarchy. Let's get somebody like Gregory Campbell on. Let's get somebody, let's get Sammy Wilson back onto the programme, Stephen. Let's get a statement from these individual MPs. Are they all speaking from the one hymn sheet, or is it just Sir Geoffrey and Arling? After all these
Well, Nigel Dodds had a year ago talked about, I think Sir Geoffrey last night posted a speech that Nigel Dodds had given. I'll try to find what Nigel Dodds said. I think it was about a year ago, around a time-limited backstop. Jim Morris, do you want to come in on this? Stay there, Mark. Morning, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
I certainly do, and I would be very, very pleased to try and talk to unionism this morning, because I think I genuinely believe that no deal Brexit threatens the UK, the union, much, much more than a backstop. And I think it's possible that the DUP, maybe realising they got it wrong in the first place by promoting Brexit so vigorously at the start, realise that this has all got to be put in the context of no deal, which could happen on the 1st of November. And if no deal happens, it's a total catastrophe. And you'll have Scotland demanding independence, an independent vote, and you'll have more push for a border poll. This way, the backstop is a much safer place.
So explain the basics again, Jim, because I think we should. Explain the basics of how a backstop actually would work in relation to Northern Ireland.
Well, I think Jim has done that very well, and I compliment him on his knowledge about customs union and single market. I would just simply say, and I think it's far, far better to go back to basics all the time, I would simply say the backstop protects the interests of business and everyday life in Northern Ireland by avoiding a hard border and making sure trade flows unfettered across the border and there's a promise across the Irish Sea as well. I think politicising this is what has been damaging. It isn't political. It won't change the way we are right now. There'll be no difference. You won't see the join, backstop or not. I mean, I'd far prefer, of course, us to remain in the EU, because I think that's the number one solution. But then secondly, at least, and you see what is happening here is, and a proposal that I've been working on, is for the backstop to come at the front, to become our safety line, and to be a protocol that gives Northern Ireland the best, not just of both worlds, but of all worlds. And, you know, customs checks on the Irish Sea is not going to in any way threaten the union. In fact, the backstop is much, much more likely to keep us in the union than a no-deal Brexit. Why did... Please, I'd love to talk to unionism closer about this. Can this not be seen? I was at a speaking engagement with Paisley Junior a long time ago after the referendum, and I said to him then, thanks to you, your slippery slope is going to become a slide. You know, but it mustn't happen that way. The backstop is much better than a no deal Brexit, and can Mark or Jim not see that?
Here's Fred and Tamore. Morning, Fred.
Hello.
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, listen, a time limit, what is the time limit? A time limit, that's just how long is a piece of string?
Well, Sir Geoffrey Dolson said last night up to 2 years.
Geoffrey Dolson, sure. They're talking around this, and the simple answer is the backstop is only giving into a united Ireland. And strange to say, I just saw a survey carried out in the Republic of Ireland in the agricultural, agri-food sector, that 60% of the farmers in the Republic are more afraid of losing their trade with UK. Now, saying they had a border down the Irish Sea, and every truck that goes from the
You're not suggesting the DUP is giving in to a united Ireland. Now, don't be ridiculous. Of course they're not.
Well, so they say, but they're going the right way to make it more look more acceptable.
Look, here's what they're doing, Fred. I can sum this up for you, right? Here's what the DUP, is doing. They're saying that if there is a time limit to the backstop, it's not a backstop at all, and that's therefore how they're going to hold the line, I presume, that they promised that they would not agree to a backstop, and they're saying you can't call it a backstop if there's a time limit on it.
Stephen, can I come in there again, please?
Yes.
Sorry, Stephen, for interrupting me. Again, how do we believe them? How do we trust the DUP now after Arling's specific, as the leader of the Unionist Party, the largest Unionist Party, say, blood red lines, and I remember you yourself saying that's very inflammatory language using the word blood. Now, she did that deliberately. She said, this is an immovable object. We will not accept the backstop. Then we have months later. What's to say, as Jim Allister and the rest of your callers have put out, even Jim Morris accepts it, that she said that this is be a time limited. Exactly, your next caller from Drumore said, how long is a piece of string? Jim Allister's nailed the callers right to the mast. He says that this could be a small 2 years. And then we have people on from the Alliance and the SDLP Sinn Féin, Liberal unionism saying, oh, well, sure, it's 2 years, let's push
it. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said last night, this is not a U-turn. He said, quote, it is only a U-turn if it wasn't previously our position.
It is a complete and utter U-turn.
He said, for example, read my speech in Dublin months ago when I suggested this option.
Oh, for goodness sake, how many speeches have they back-turned and flipped on? This is absolute fudge cooking by the DUP this morning.
Stephen, they're trying to blinker.
Blinker the unionist people by their words and silly statements. They do not stand by their statements. What party stands by its own election manifesto that doesn't break a number of years later when they reach power?
Can I ask Mark? Does he see it anyway? Good morning. And I think you and I could have a very decent discussion about this, because do you not see the danger of a no deal Brexit?
I absolutely see the danger of a no-deal Brexit as much as I see the danger of a backstop Brexit.
Okay, so what do you think we should do? What about staying in the Union from the start? I mean, what do you think we should do?
Well, hold on. As one who voted for Brexit, to free ourselves from the shackles of the EU, now we're going to tie ourselves up for 2 years back into the EU.
Are you worried, Fred, in Drumore?
Oh, yes, but you see, they're talking this backstop again, and they're talking lying down in the Irish Sea. As I was saying, there's an article in the Irish Farmers paper.
Well, no, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson said the whole of the UK would be in this time-limited backstop.
But just let me finish, please. And the farmers in the Republic of Ireland are more afraid of losing their trade with UK. And I just see in another paper that has been mentioned too. The simple answer is, and there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing being UK and Ireland of late between royalty, etc., etc. The simple answer solves all the things. What a leading businessman in Northern Ireland said when Brexit was first mentioned, and he has commitments in both the Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, he said that the only state to suffer would be the Republic of Ireland. And when Britain went into UK, Ireland followed them in within a few weeks. So when they come out, they should come out at the same time and become a part of the United Kingdom, and if they can't accept that, then maybe they could become a part of the Commonwealth. And that solves all the problems.
Stephen, can I come back there? Because I think we are in danger here of muddying the waters on this detail. And we look to what's trying to be done here is somebody somewhere is trying to get a deal. And I commend them at least.
Yeah, but do you not think it would be helpful for the DUP to spell out to their electorate what a time-limited backstop means, how long would that time-limited be, the worries that some unionists have that we're hearing articulated this morning in terms of it threatening the union, why is the DUP not worried? It might be helpful if they spelt that out.
Wait. It would be much more helpful, Stephen, if the DUP spelt out what would happen on the 1st of November in the event of no deal. because what would happen would be, and I imagine, all money to Northern Ireland would stop, including all farmer subsidies, including all rights. You know, what, it'd be far, far more important.
Well, maybe the DUP should have thought about that before they advocated Brexit.
Well, why don't you, yeah, well, of course, but why don't you ask them to spell out what happened on the 1st of November in the event of a no deal? Because that's
they won't come on a show, Jean.
Well, okay, but
that's
but,
their prerogative.
But, see, because you're asking them, all they're trying to do now is get a deal before the 31st of October to avoid a no deal. And I think they would come on your show if you asked them to spell out what would happen if there was no deal.
Why was this not discussed by the DUP and the rest of unionism before the referendum?
Stephen Nolan, you know why you didn't ask them? And I will say that I don't think anyone's been asking the right questions. Now, you please ask them? Because here's another question you're not even asking. Ask Jim Allister. You know, we are European citizens in Northern Ireland. All 1.8 million of us are entitled to European citizenship. So we have the right to recourse to the European Court of Justice. No matter whether we're in, out, backed up, or wherever we are, we can always have the right to the European Court of Justice. Why did Jim, citizens' rights apply here? Why are you not discussing this instead of the detail of a backstop?
Now, George Nishankel, clearly you're a unionist, a loyalist, George. You do not fear a time-limited backstop. Tell me why.
Because if you listen to the language from the Irish government in the last few months, you know, they were not for moving an inch. And to quote Simon Convey and Leo, they said a time-limited backstop is no backstop at all. So, you mean, I have to trust the DUP here because they're probably the most skillful negotiating team in all these negotiations. And I include the European Union in that. And, you know, I think Arlene's being misquoted here today when she's saying the blood red lines with no backstop. Well, I mean,
I haven't seen that quote, to be fair, but she is definitely in support of, she is definitely at least contemplating a time-limited backstop. Yes. She has not ruled that out.
But if you let me finish here, mate, please. I think the DUP's position was nothing that separates us from the rest of the UK and a backstop would be acceptable to the DUP, and that's unacceptable to me and other unionists also, that we are not separated from the rest of the UK. If I'm reading you right here this morning, the whole of the UK would be included in this time-limited backstop.
Well, according to Sir Geoffrey Donaldson. But how does that work?
Well, I mean, but my point would be why I don't fear it. If there's up to 2 years, so say we'll give it 2 years from the 31st of October. So if the whole of the UK is involved in it and it's a legally binding document, then everyone has to look at the 31st of October in 2 years' time when the whole of the UK leaves, like it or lump it, because this has been the end of the negotiation.
Stephen, can I come back?
You're asking there, why is the DUP not coming on? Well, my point was they're probably the most skillful negotiating team in Europe, but why would they come on, Stephen, and tell you in the middle of what is...
Well, maybe the clue is in what Sammy Wilson said, that they're trying to design as a party the best way possible of hurting me.
Well, no, they wouldn't want to show their hand in that opinion. You know, a good poker player never shows his hand in the middle of a game. You play your cards and you show your hand.
How about showing the hand to the British public?
Well, again, I mean, why would you in the middle of it? I mean, were you asking, for instance, in the middle of negotiations at Stormont?
Calm down one second, mate. There is no reason why the DUP could not discuss at length the implications of a time-limited backstop, because they themselves are saying they have already floated this many months ago. So it is not new, according to the DUP, so they could very much explain the implications of this for the union. Yes, Mark, go ahead, Mark. Yeah, hold on. Go on, Mark.
Good morning, George, my old friend from the Shankle. How are you? Some things that George is saying are quite right too. But the other thing I think, something just suddenly struck me this morning here, Stephen, is that this could be a temperature gauge program this morning. That the DUP, I reckon, could be actually, I have absolutely no doubt they listen to your program every morning.
You should hear how many of them talk to me behind the scenes. Every one of them listens, for goodness sake.
Maybe quite a few do, Stephen, but I think you're thick enough skin. But I would say this is a temperature gauge program this morning on just how unionism and loyalism is feeling. Now, if George is right in what he's saying, that perhaps Arlene has been misquoted Or Javery has suddenly now been misquoted that this backstop is going to cover the entire United Kingdom. That is an entirely different matter. But as far as I'm concerned, and reading Jeffrey's statement late last night, following on the back of a...
No, so Jeffrey also made it clear that it would apply to the whole of the UK.
Well, let's just wait and see. Let's just wait and see, because I believe that Leo Varadkar will do exactly what his EU paymaster will tell him to do. You're trying to say that this would be tied up in an illegal document. When has a legal document ever been listened to?
Michael in Newton Abbey's next. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. I didn't hear your interview or talking to Nigel or whoever under me, but my question's a very simple one. What is the purpose of time limit to the backstop? What is the purpose of limiting the time to it?
Well, you could argue, because one of the fundamental things that unionism was in Northern Ireland was not prepared to accept was being tied into the EU structures and regulations and only able to get out again at the behest of the EU.
Right, okay. But what's the purpose of, again, I'm asking a simple question. If that doesn't change during the time limit, what happens? What's the purpose of limiting the time? I mean, the DUP needs to answer that and give that to the people. Because for me, there is no difference, and Jim Allister is absolutely right. If nothing changes during the time limit, what do we revert back to? We revert back to the backstop as an insurance policy within the agreement. So, I mean, what is the whole purpose?
Are you worried, Michael?
Sorry?
Are you worried?
Worry's not the right word, Stephen. You know, as a Christian, my courage with the Lord. You know, but my point is a very simple one.
Do you think it threatens the union?
It's about honesty, Stephen.
Do you think it threatens the union?
I do, yes.
Stephen, can I come in here? Because it's just to explain there that it would be until such time as the trade deals are agreed, because that's the next negotiation that happens.
Yeah, thank you. They're the next negotiations.
So how long might that take? Could that take another 3 years, Jim?
Parallel.
Could that take another 3 years without agreement, or 5 years, or 10 years?
Thank you. That's exactly my point.
It's always been said to be the first stage. The next stage is the trade negotiations. We haven't gone there yet. And by the way, another important thing that you're missing here is the extension to the 31st. Now, this is what is called the Safeguard Act, which has been brought in, which means that Boris Johnson must ask for an extension. And I'm interested to know why you're not discussing that here. Because if there is no deal agreed, then he must ask for an extension. And that's the next stage we go.
It's dead easy.
Goes on till into New Year.
It's dead easy. We have the Vice Chair of the Conservative Party last night saying that a time-limited backstop is one of the options that the British government is prepared to now contemplate as a solution to Brexit. So I think it's fair enough for us to explain to the population of Northern Ireland how long would that time limit be? Would the DUP, in negotiating with the British government, be putting a maximum cap on that time limit? You, for example, most people have a mortgage for 25 years.
Yes, but
would that be the time limit? 25 years, 20 years, 10 years,
Stephen,
2 years, 12
Stephen,
months? These are the questions that the people need answered. And hopefully we'll get the answers quite soon.